Bitterness is banished. Unforgiveness is broken. It's broken. Everything that chokes the word of the Lord is banished in the name of Jesus. It's banished. He said, you shall be established in righteousness. Oppression shall not come near you. He said, even terror shall be far from you, and you shall not fear because of the presence of the Lord. I want you to pray. Say, Lord, for the word of the Lord coming to me, it will open my eyes that I may fall in line. Help me to fall in line with the grand plan of the Lord for this end time. My steps have been ordered. My steps have been ordered. Pray. Pray that the Lord will be ordering your step in every way into the fulfillment of his will for your life. For your life. You will never miss it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You just only have to ask. You only just have to ask. Say, Lord, help me. Direct my feet. The Bible says God orders the steps of the righteous. Then how shall the righteous know his own path? So you only need to ask. I will not be afraid. I will never miss it in life. Because the word of God is coming to illuminate my mind. The word of God is coming to give me life and strength. Please pray. And I need you to please pray for the vessel that God is using, our own pastor. That God is a grace poured upon his lips. He will have salt in himself more and more. Say, Lord, strengthen him. Strengthen him. Strengthen Pastor Banky in every way. Build yourself round about him. Build yourself round about him. Angels will stand round about him, altars of light. They will hold their hands together round about him. He will be inside. Light. 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 He will be full of the wisdom of God, full of faith, always. Always. He's protected on every side. Now ask the Lord to give him the word for today. That as he speaks, it will be with power, with strength. It will be like a sharp stretching tool. His words will cut deep into our hearts by reason of the Holy Ghost, by reason of the Spirit of Christ. Say, Lord, grace is poured upon his lips. We call him blessed. We call him blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you for such a man that you have given to us, our own man of God. In this time, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise to you, O Father. In Jesus' most wonderful name, we have prayed. Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
All right. We'll continue to pray in a moment. But before we do that, we need to charge our spirit further with the teaching instruction in the Word of God. Before we start the instruction, we take a declaration as usual. I believe you know it by heart. All right, let's take it one, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is good. Please take your seats quickly. Let's get into this. We'll continue the work we were doing last time. There was a job we began to do in the area of prayer. And my desire is that that's what we're going to continue today. Let me just remind us of why prayer is important. We can't say these things enough. Prayer is a sign of faith. Prayer is a sign that you trust in God. Prayer is a sign that you're not relying on your own energy. on your own power, but you are relying on the power or the grace of God. What is prayer? Prayer is when you yield when you invite God into the area of life where you have authority, where you have power, where you have influence, where you have, you know, the right to control, or where you have mercy. For example, in my house, I decide who comes into the house, really. I hope you get my point. Man was working for me once. He was misbehaving. I was trying to tell him, do this thing this way. He said, no, it's better like this. I said, okay. Do it this way. I said, you will spoil something at this rate. He said, don't worry. I said, no problem. Then while I was watching, he almost spoiled my car. Something was going to fall on top of my car. So we caught it. I said, this is what I was telling you. You know what he told me? Don't worry. So I said, no problem. I said, I'm going to go inside. I will get a sheet of paper, and you will sign that whatever damage you cause, you will pay. You know what he said to me? How much did they pay me? Where I go sign that kind of paper? Those were the exact words in Pidgin English. How much did be the job? Where I go sign that kind of paper? So what does it mean? You were intending to damage. I was wondering about if you've been to my house, my glass is not small. They are long, very long, you know. You want to damage this thing. Now, where am I going? I told him, get out. That's where the story is going. At that point in time, I told him, get your tools and get out now. He said, the person who gave him the job, I said, this is my compound. Before I blink my eye like this, you are out. He said, go and wait for the person outside the gate. So I made him sit outside my gate to wait for the foreman that brought him to come and walk. You know why? It's my house. I decide who comes in and who doesn't come in, including God. If I say, God, get out of the schools, he will get out of my school. You know, America told him that at the time. No prayer in schools. Now, then, you know, small aside, I love America. Do you know why I love America? We are streaming. I can't tell you some things. Let me leave that one I can't say. Let me say the one I can say. You know why I love America? There's a tug of war between light and darkness. In some other parts of the world, there's no tug of war. They are very peaceful. Because a strong man, when he keeps his goods are safe. Peace of graveyard. I won't mention which part of the world. So in America now, do you know some states are legislating that every school must display the Ten Commandments? That is what is now in court. One judge said, Haba, you can't make it a law. They say we want to make it a law. That every school will have it displayed in front. The Ten Commandments. That is a current fight now. You know, in some countries, they don't even fight that fight anymore. That's why the last American election, that woman sealed her loss when she made a statement. Somebody said, Jesus is Lord. He said, you're in the wrong crowd. God said, you're in the wrong profession too. You're in the wrong race. When they said, God, don't come, God wouldn't come. So who comes? Satan. You can tell God, don't come to my home. Don't bless people here. Like I said, there are three ways you say it. One, most importantly, four ways. I said it last time. Four ways. One, prayer, number one way. And that's what we're talking about. But you can say it by your words, that's spontaneous, free words, by your actions, and by what's inside your heart. So the things that God answers. But I have the right. That's the point I'm making. If I want to decide what will happen in the lives of my children, I have to make sure those four things are in place. They are individuals. But I have the right over them for a certain period of their lives. During that period, I must pray for them. I must do the other three things that God answers. I must make sure they are right. One, my spontaneous words. Words that I speak about them, to them, that they overhear, about things around that they hear. How do I behave? And what is deep inside my heart? God says, then I will turn around and bless them. He told Aaron, you can invoke my name upon the people. He gave him the right as a priest over the nation. So I say to my children, the Lord bless you. Every morning, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will empower you afresh. The Lord will lead you in the path of righteousness. The Lord will start. I said, how often? Every morning.
special days also happen, a birthday. Other days you are just happy. Tell one of my children, please get me a bottle of water. He brings it. It's deliberate. It's become a culture. Oh, thank you. God bless you. That blessing is not a greeting. It's deliberate. He said, thank you. The Lord bless you. And they've learned to say amen to every one of it. What is prayer? You are thanking God. You see this son? I can't handle him. I can't. But I know you. You can. You can lead him by force in the path of righteousness. You can. That's what prayer means. Prayer means that no matter how careful I am, I can't be safe. I don't have enough control over, you know what they call accidents? Things you didn't plan for. Things you could not control. But there's none of it that's outside the control of the good Lord. Yes. So everything in my life, I invite him to come and take control. That's what prayer is. Please, I want you to form a very sound Christian praying habit. Don't form... Okay, what do I mean by that? Prayer is not just, I've been Christian, so let us pray. We have prayed. No. Say, God, this is what I would like you to do. I want to yield my authority and my power to you. I want to invoke your blessing upon this area that I have. I told you, areas you have authority, areas in which you have responsibility. I forgot to add that. If God gives you a responsibility, life gives you a responsibility. You have to ask for help. That's what prayer is. You need to ask for help. You see, you are the gardener here. Ask God to help you to garden well. Is that a verb good? If you are the gardener, do you garden? All those who are saying yes, yes. Are you sure you know what you are saying? Does a gardener garden? A gardener gardeners. What does he do? He tends. A gardener tends. Okay. One day a friend of mine said that she's an usher in church, so they usher people to their seat. I say, hey. I say, okay, come. They don't usher people. They usher them. He said, I'm an usher. I said, no. You usher the people. English, I told you, is one of the most terrible things that have happened to modern life. The language is thoroughly confusing. A driver drives. Why can an usher ush? He ushers the people in church. I mean, that's what a driver does, Reverend David? Is that not true? A driver drives. The Lord is good. So if you're a gardener, you invite God to help you. Do you know, there is something about gardening you don't even know. There is something about snakes you don't know. You're a gardener. You know there are snakes inside there. You're a cook. Why do we cook inside a cooker? But the person cooking is a cook. One of the problems of English language. But there's something about cooking that the Holy Spirit can inspire you. Anything you do in life, including driving, don't ever assume you know how to do it. Ask the Lord for help. That's what prayer is. Asking somebody who has more. It's like you go out with the richest man in the world, and he's a very generous person. And you're asking him, pay. That's what prayer is. You get there, I love this suit. Beautiful. You ask him how much, he tell you, Kai, the money is high. You check your money, you check your balance, and turn to the guy beside you. Sir, do you mind paying? And he says, oh, not a problem. Then he pays. That's what prayer is. That is what prayer is. There's nothing you do in life that God can't do better than you. You know that. And learn to ask him for help in every area. So making prayer a constant habit is a sign of faith. You really are trusting in God. And one thing God does a lot of times, in many circumstances, and a lot of circumstances, if not most, he stands back and waits to be invited. Now, the time you invite him may not be that moment, but you have to invite him. I hope you're getting my point. There are times you've signed a covenant of perpetual invitation, but he has to be invited. He has to be invited. So in prayer, you're activating the covenant agreement that you have. Remember what I said last time? That's the first thing to just remind us of. I said, if you have a title, it's very important we remind ourselves. Because I want to go in that area today. in another area under that. If you have a title as in any area of life, as a Christian, the primary duty is intercessory prayer, is making supplications to the Lord concerning that area. For example, you call somebody the president of Nigeria. If he is a Christian, he understands. He will make sure that he leads prayer for Nigeria every day. God expects. Look at Solomon. What can I do for you? And he asked for anything. He asked God to help him to be a good king. That was what he did. So if you are the president of Nigeria and you are a Christian, just realize that if you spend, you can choose the time, 30 minutes, 1 hour in prayer for the country every day, is time not well spent, appropriately spent. Not just that it has value. That's what you are supposed to do. For Nigeria, maybe you recruit somebody else to be praying other prayers for you because you are the one responsible for eliminating banditry. You are the one responsible for stabilizing the naira against other foreign currencies. You are the one responsible for, you know, balance in civil service. Everything. Haba. So every day, when they give you all the problems, you know, you have to learn to carry, you know, the way you carry things to the boss. When they finish giving it to you, tell everybody, all right, okay. You step outside, then you take it to your own boss. And, you know, civil, all those people around you, civil servants, chief of staff, if they want to wicked you, that's Nigerian English, you get my point? They want to wicked you. They know how to twist things. So whatever they bring, just carry that pile and give to the Lord. Say, Lord, this pile is plenty. It's not difficult. Sometimes people think prayer is very hard. It's not. There's some certain fundamental principles you must learn about it. Like in the name of who do you come? What right do you have to come? Once you've settled all those things and you understand gratitude, every other thing is spontaneous. Just carry the book, put it there, say, Lord, we should borrow another 500 billion naira. The other one we borrow, we have not paid it to. Lord, what do I do? Seriously, ask the Lord. So I should borrow. Tomorrow I'm sending these ministers for confirmation. Lord, these are the people I really want. But let's be honest. In case there's Judas amongst them, don't let him or her be confirmed. Lord, I'll take it as a sign. Anyone that gives me any serious problem in confirmation, and they go, DSS report in order, EFC report in order, everything, certificates correct. They're not like somebody raise an objection. And who say, just go to your house, say, Lord, thank you. Call the person, well, I don't like the way it's going. I'm withdrawing your nomination. It's God that's helping you see. You just have to pray. That's the point I'm making. Your primary assignment is to pray for the country. It's not just tripping, you know, traveling up and down, attending this, attending that. No. Your primary, if you're a Christian, your primary job is making supplications for the nation before the Lord. You know, I read the story once. Those days, you know, things are different now. When America was fighting its civil war, that one day one man went into the bush and then he came back home and told his wife, the country will not break. And he said it with confidence. He said, how do you know? Because while he was in the bush doing his business, he stumbled upon Abraham Lincoln, who was in the same bush. And he was on his knees and he was crying and praying to God. And the man gently tiptoed away and went back home and told his wife, this war will soon end and the union will be preserved. He said it with confidence. His wife said, how do you know? I just saw where our president was praying. I saw where he was praying. That's a small reminder. And please don't neglect your duty. You are head of department in the university. If you are a Christian, God said that's your primary assignment. You are commander of a platoon. I like the testimony of Derek Prince. It wasn't a big, I mean, he made it only as a corporal. He wasn't even a sergeant, but he was in charge of a small group of men. And he said to the glory of God, he didn't lose anyone. At a point in time, his men became confident that they were safe once he's there. So bombs flying, bullets flying, they just look, where's Corporal Prince? He's over there. We are okay. Everybody was, they felt okay. Why? That's corporal praise. We are following. We're in the same. He's the head of our unit. Because he learned certain principles on how to take care of, you know, the people under his watch. If you're a class teacher in primary school, learn the names of every child in your class. And before you sleep at night, just say a word or two. General words for everybody before the Lord, and specific ones. For the ones you know may have certain problems. You don't have full authority over those children because their parents have more than you. But they brought them to your school, to your class. They've yielded some of their authority to you. Use it well. Use it well. Use it well. I've told this story before. I just learned it. You know, I told you about being filled with the Spirit. And I'll talk about that in again. You have to be filled with the Spirit. Small digression, eh? See, being filled with the Spirit, if you go for a meeting, you fall under the power. Don't be impressed with both yourself and the person who lay hands on you. Because if you fall, you shall rise again. Do you get my point? What should impress you? When you leave there, what do you carry away from there? Don't come next day, we can't fall in that place. Our pastor is anointed. How do you mean he's anointed? People just fall. Some people invited my wife for a meeting once. All they were doing was seeing visions and seeing visions and seeing visions. When my wife was about to go, I said, sweetheart, please come. I said, please come. I said, you understand that there is no thing that will be good for you that won't be the one to encourage you. I said, but this meeting is not necessary. Just gather to be seeing visions. Kenneth Higgins said, of course, he didn't go then. Events showed that I was right. Kennedy said that when people were doing all this anointing too, he joined them. People will roll like this, roll like that. He said they almost climbed the wall when he's praying. So then he used to go to their homes and he discovered nothing different. The sick ones were still sick. The ones that they were fighting at home, they were still fighting. The ones that the business was not doing well, they were mostly farmers. Nothing had improved. So he went to pray. He was a very young preacher. He said, God, what is going on here? After praying for days, fasting and praying, the Lord said, you know what your problem is? He said, what? In his heart, he just heard the Lord speak. That you are trying to do by this your funny meetings. God didn't use the word funny, but use something like that. All this your anointing services, what only the word can do. Can I again say he used to have anointing services? Then he said with deliverance services. Then went to losing. He said, after they do deliverance service for like maybe a few weeks, it's losing the novelty. They change it to losing services. So from next week, we are going to have some powerful listening services here. Everything will be loosed. Amen. Then you start losing. Hey, yeah, what about the laying hands? We'll be falling, getting up, falling, climbing the wall, according to him. So finally, when that one is over, they will change it to getting free. After we have delivered, we've been losing, then now time to get free. He said, finally, when he didn't see any effect, he said, look, God, what is going on? The Lord said, this thing you are doing, it won't work. So he came back to church and banned them. And said, henceforth, Bible teaching. He started instructing people with the word of God regularly. And he started seeing lives changed. He started seeing sicknesses healed. He said, hey, So this, no, I'm telling this story. Forget all this. I went for anointing services. So. I did. When I was in school. Again, small aside. If you're a young guy on campus, young girl on campus, you must go to the crazy zones. You must. Did you hear what I said? You must go to where people are going crazy. If you're not a Christian, you have your own. If you're a Christian, you can't just be sober, young guy. No, now. You must go to church now. You must do online services. There's nothing happening during the day. Come and you do it at night. Me, I don't have a problem. I used to tell Pastor Kim, see, I beg, arrange. Young people, your church. They must dance. It can't be everybody who will come to church and say, they won't behave well. They must dance. They must play football. Just make sure that before you dance, you first read the scriptures and pray. Then you start dancing. When we were in school, we did drama, we did everything, we jumped, we somersault. Is age. You won't see me somersaulting outside now. I do my somersaulting inside the house. Well, I'm ready to say that. See, it's not everything young people do that is reasonable. Are you getting my point? If you're a pastor, don't assume, 18-year-olds will be thinking like they are 40, they are 50. No. They will do all kinds of things. When they start preaching, they learn all kinds of bad manners. Don't be angry with them. Just be patient. They will come and say, "I don't have time for sense knowledge. The Greek word right here, what they just watched on YouTube, is normal. If you don't do, you are not born again." You have to pass through that phase of life. So when you say young person, do it, just be looking. Just say, "You see, as I began to move." My father-in-law has a very, you never see a person with mouth like my father-in-law. So a man came and told him that, "I'm on a journey with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus Christ." I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "You're in a journey. Where are you going? Three of you. Where are the workers?" The Lord is good. I just remember that just made me laugh. Now, where I'm going to say, so young people, they will do all kinds of things. Just leave them. After a while, they will calm down. So when we were in school, we went for those anointing services. And it worked. That's where I'm going. It worked. The real substance was there. I told you, when we were in school, when we were just doing anointing for the sake of anointing, all Kenny Hagin books, all, every single one, we read. All, not one or two. All. Some people will come to church as they are preaching. You want to bring out your book and be following them. You know where they are. You know where they are preaching from. We read all the books. I told you this story. We had a book fair, Christian book fair. I went there. Saw one brother. He's a pastor in Lagos now. He was my senior in the same college. He held the book, "The Father and His Family," by E.W. Kenyon. I went there and said, "Ah, sir." He was my senior. He says, "Sir, give me the book." I said, "Can I hold this book while you are looking around?" So I stopped and started reading. I stopped moving around. I started reading. Then when he finished, he came and collected his book. Hi, I looked. I sadly gave it back to him. Only for me to go to the room a few hours later. I was staying on the first floor in our hostel. And I looked down. There's one big almond tree in front of our hostel, our block. And it was there, under it, washing clothes. So I came down. I said, "Excuse me. If you are washing clothes, you're not reading. Can I have that book while you are washing clothes?" Do you know what? He had it there. He just removed the clothes and brought the book. He said, "You like this book so much?" I said, "I do." He said, "I give it for 2 days." Ah! What else do you think I will do? I went everywhere. Once lecturer is not in class, you've gone outside. You are reading, reading. Ah, I was cramming everything, reading, reading, reading. After 2 days, I went and returned his book to him, having read every portion of it. Only for my president of my fellowship to tell me later that he read the same book. I said, "Where did you get your own?" He said, "That one you had." I said, "Is it possible?" "It was with me all the time." Ah, he said, "One day I came to the room and you were sleeping. And if you are sleeping, you are not reading." I said, "We used to call him Pastor E." I said, "Pastor E." He said, "Yes." He said, "He came around 11:30, saw me sleeping. He decided that I'm not reading. So he just looked for the book, looked for where I kept it. Took it, sat down till morning." Oh my God. I wasn't staying with jokers. He read the book till morning. Then he went to sleep. By the time I woke up, I found my book exactly where I kept it. But he had finished with it. Those were when we were doing anointing service, we're not doing just my getting free services. Before we start laying hands, they will have taught for an hour, one and a half hour, taught some scripture. So God said, "Okay, time, children, play time." They will start laying hands, be falling and getting up, pushing each other and pulling each other up. God said, "I don't have a problem with that." Why am I going the whole story? It's these days, though, I look back and some of those funny things we did was in feeling of the Spirit. We didn't know. People thought, "When you fall down." No, that we left that place or those places with something. Once a friend of mine was blaspheming. Bosom friend, childhood friend, went to visit him during holiday. And he was there blaspheming, talking nonsense about the faith, about preachers. And I stepped out. And I commanded the spirit to stop. And I went back in. He couldn't blaspheme anymore. He didn't. I stepped out. I just stopped on the balcony. I said, you foul spirit, causing this guy to sin. I command you right now in the name of Jesus. Desist. And I walked back in. Stand down calmly. And the blaspheming spirit left him. This is what will shock you. He started talking. And the God is my witness, I won't lie to you. The latest message I just learned, I just prepared on my own. He was preaching it. He never heard me preach it. The anointing to speak for God came upon him. I sat there and watched this guy. He was trying to mock with the Bible. He started preaching revelation. God is my witness. I was. This happened. I was there. I look back. No, that's... He's followed us to places. Why am I telling the story? It's because of one thing that... It's one of my books, I think. I'm not sure. But I've told the story many times. When I was 7, a man donated his wife to our clinic. Used his authority as far as God was concerned. And I told that spirit, couldn't kill her. He had shot her kidneys down. I said, Lila, not here. I finished praying that. It took me like 45 minutes. They were Muslims. So I didn't come to the bedside to come and pray. Went to my room. I still remember my friend. We had a 2-bedroom flat. The guy in the other flat, a pharmacist, he came to see me. He opened the door, saw me, and closed the door and left. So the intense prayer I was in. I finished praying. I went there next morning. My patient's kidneys were working. The fever had disappeared. She had regained consciousness. When I left, these three things were not there. Her kidneys were not working. Fever could not be crushed. I was given Novargin. The fever did not come down. And if you know fevers and Novargin, those of you who know, Dipyrone is the generic name. Kills fever dead. I was given this woman every few hours. This didn't come down. I said, is that the way you like it? I'm coming. And she was unconscious. I came. It was a military unit. We call it MIR. And the soldiers told me, she had not made urine. She hasn't made urine. We checked. This woman was not making urine. Kidneys, they are shut down. I didn't have a superior to cry to, humanly speaking. The battalion medical officer was in Liberia fighting war. So I went to my room. It took me 45 minutes. I came next day. Fever was down to zero. The woman had woken up. The kidneys were working. And she said something. She couldn't speak Hausa. No, she could speak. She couldn't speak Hausa, yes. I think she could speak only Fufu De. She said something. And then I just asked the soldier there. That one could speak Fufu De. I said, what did she say? She said that she's hungry. She would like to eat. That was sweet. The thing was like song in my ear. I told her, please, let me apologize. You can't eat now. But that you want to eat, I'm satisfied. For certain reasons, I just had to be sure that because the intestine had perforated, I had to be sure it was closed. So I said, you can't eat yet. We're inside the bush, doing all this work. I was so happy. Following day, I was getting happier. She was recovering. The following day, I came, her bed was empty, which is a sign usually that your patient died behind your back. So I'm like, why didn't you call me? Who else would have handled this? I was so upset. I still remember the name of a soldier on duty that day. I screamed his name. So he came. Yes, sir. Where is she? He said, Doc. The husband came around 6:30 and came to remove her. If I was a commissioned officer, that guy is going to guard room. Why didn't you call me? But instantly in my brain, I almost saw Satan doing, your jurisdiction was the problem. Then they took her outside where I had authority. And then the woman was dead. Following which, she was dead. Yeah. I told that story to let you know, as a teacher, you have a certain level of authority. They drop that child for you every day. The parent has yielded something. And God says, take it up. You can't see, like they say, do your best and leave the rest. And I'm telling you where your best lies now. It's not in the cane you carry. I hope you know some children have demonic problems.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
They do. They do. They come to school armed with demons. I remember my friends, they went to do a Holy Ghost service in the military barracks near our school then. They came and gave us stories. They cast out demons out of small children. Many of you have seen it, Pastor Peter. It was on that later day. He said one funny thing. He said, I hereby close every other orifice apart from the mouth. All of you out. Where are you? Open your mouth and face the window. Yeah. He said, every other exit from this boy's body, I close it. Apart from the mouth. So the demons were only allowed to go out through the mouth. So yeah, open your mouth. Turn to face the window. Out in the name. The boys testified, he saw them going out like little monkeys. Think it's every stubborn child that just stubborn. Some stubbornness is just normal childish stubbornness. Some stubbornness is, you know, you get some children for boarding house. Seniors, those the ones senior used to flog people. You want to flog him, he will turn his back and give you. Flog him, now your hand will be pain. He never, he doesn't feel pain. Some of this, I don't feel pain, is demonic. I don't feel pain. Doesn't, what is the problem? Some children have demons. You know where they got the demons from? It's the parents. Some people say that they gave you, you ate something in the dream. It's a lie. Anybody eating drinks is a lie. Anything you eat in the dream is in the dream. I hope you get my point. It's a lie. They leave that. You can't have demons if your parents don't allow it. The other donate it deliberately. Or, but you know, I said four things. Prayer, casual words, actions, thoughts. They can donate by their misbehavior. That's why I wrote the book, Worship and Sex Control. I talked about it the other Saturday. Be careful. It's not every money you collect, you bring home. You go and join one funny party. They say they are doing, they go for initiation. They now share money. You carry and bring to your house. Your son now goes, say, Daddy, I need a new PS4. You take from him and give him. Is it PS5 people are using now? You now go and buy. The boy don't collect. Normal child will play demonic game. He can't do anything. But that one will play it, demons will enter. The boy will go to school and just be fighting. Every little thing is fighting. Sometimes as a parent, as a teacher, and I'm going to get to the main thing I'm trying to say, just warming up this whole thing. As a teacher, you have to identify such things and pray about them. Your work is difficult too. It's difficult because you push like this, they go home, they push back that way. That's why you have to now add the parents to your intercession list. Peradventure, they will notice and they will come to learn. And then you can share the gospel with them. Please, everything you are doing in life, intercession is number one. Any office you occupy. Now, that's a small revision. The next point I want to remind us of again is why I mentioned it last time, why God created love. Let's do our reminder. Love is that which God uses. You know, this building we are in now, we're on top floor. And then you look, it's span, you know, the walls. This, they call it suspended ceiling, Abi. What do you guys? Suspended what? Suspended floor. Uh-huh. Normal people like us call it decking. That wide span of decking, they have something inside that's holding it together. It's called steel rods. Yes. So this building is big. Like most of the thing in the wall is cement and, you know, sand and some stones in some places. But that's not what's holding it together. That's what allows it to stand. What bears the weight, preventing from falling apart, are the steel rods inside. You know what holds life together? Love. Yeah, love. That's the thing that binds life together. That is it. What is love? It's that thing that makes you willing to sacrifice for somebody else and gain satisfaction from the fact that the person is blessed. That is, your satisfaction is gained from the fact that somebody else you sacrificed for is blessed. That is enough for you. That's what is called love. The one that you are waiting to get back is not love. If you are waiting to get something back, that is not love. It is that, see, I see the result of the travail of my soul and I'm satisfied. Like Isaiah prophesied concerning Jesus Christ. Then, that is love. Love binds you. It makes somebody's tears yours. You've heard this thing we say before, why are you the one taking paracetamol for my headache? That's what love does. You have the headache, I take the paracetamol, and I expect you to get well. That's what love does. Love is the reason why somebody else's trouble is yours. Love is the reason why you will sacrifice, spend energy, spend money to help somebody else become. So what God did, how he did it, is phenomenal. That's why he's God. Parents have love for their children. It's intense. The love of mothers for their children, whoa. Only God's love can compare with that. Fathers also. They also love, just that they're not as emotional about it. Like I saw one old drama. One boy came to his father and said, "Daddy, I feel like you don't love me." The father said, "I don't. I don't. Do you eat?" He said, "Yes." "You have clothes?" "Yes." "You have a place to stay?" The boy said, "Yes." He said, "How do you think that came to be?" "You say I don't love you." He said, "Listen, my friend. You don't need love. What you need is I provide everything." This is the boy. He said, "Look, I don't need to love." Now, what he was saying is that this is my love. That is actually real agape love. The love that does something. You know some people that annoy you the most in this life? "Pele, pele, pele. Oh, pele. So how are you feeling? Oh, pele, pele, pele." Every time they come to do pele, they not bring you bread. They do pele, they not bring you pepper soup. See, I appreciate the holding my hands and doing me pele. But I think the guy who just says, "Oh boy, you see the light down there, you know, get up and drop pepper soup," has done better. The guy will just come and say, "You are still lying down." Yeah, very lazy man. No? Ordinary small sickness, you know, you won't come die put. Even if he's abusing you, they drop a basket full of fruits. And he goes away. You know that is a loving person. The other fellow is a pele person. You know, I told you I served in the story I was telling you earlier. I was in the military barracks. Once they are rushing somebody to our MIR, our hospital, they call in the military, they call them medical inspection room, MIR, all right? Because it's a small battalion base. Once they are rushing somebody, everybody's coming from homes and following. Rushing, they rush somebody like this. You get there. By the time they call me, you get there. You don't even know who is sick, who is a spectator, who is a relative. Everywhere is full. I saw end the reputation for kicking everybody out. So we learned a way to kick people out. If it's a serious case. Just say, "Please, we need to transfuse blood. 5 bags. How many people are donating?" Everybody don't disappear. All these people that say, "Oh, sorry, oh, I just want to look." Ask for blood donor. Every man don't miss. So many times, men are like that. But the fact is that love is very intense. Love is one thing that God used to bind this earth together. That is when I say earth now, not the earth physical, but people. To keep us alive. It's love. You know, they did a study over about 100 years or so. I think it's Harvard. This study has had like 3 or 4 study directors. People will do the study for years, retire, hand over to another person. So finally, and what was it? What does it take to live long? That's what the study is about. They interviewed people. They selected them when they were young and followed them up till they were old or dead. And they see them periodically. When they go to see them, they take their blood, they check them, do all kinds of tests, interview them. Then interview, it was men they were doing. Then after a while, they joined their wives to the study. Interview the wives. Just ask simple questions about their daily routine. What do they eat? When they fall sick? Then do all kinds of tests. Check their blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol level, this and that and that and that. After 100 years of gathering data, they said, what's number one key? Number one key for living long is having good, loving relationships. This is a Harvard study. After 100 years of gathering data, it was number one key for long life. It's having thank you, is love. That lack of love is worse than smoking. It's worse than lack of exercise. All this they tell you about, they say it's not as important. That they found that couples that, you know, married people that stayed with their wives or their husbands, they had this habit of living long. And they say it doesn't even mean the relationship is wonderful. But they quarrel like everybody else. They have their bodies like everybody else. But generally, on the whole, they lived longer and happier. Now, another study, and they are less likely to have dementia. Love is powerful. Now, these are scientific studies. The dementia one I watched recently. But that one was very interesting. I will soon find those things in medical journals now. It will soon come into a book. There's this book called Alzheimer plaques in the brain. And if you have Alzheimer's disease, plaques, you start having Alzheimer disease. There are complex inside the brain. They found out that it doesn't correlate. So one man had it well. He didn't forget anything. He was almost 100 years old. He would tell the first time he bought a car, where he was living, he would be telling the whole life. When he died, they examined his brain, full of plaques. One woman couldn't remember anything. Opened her brain, clean like fresh bed sheet. That man was 90-something, was still driving around, causing trouble in town. The man would tell you, they interviewed him. I was watching the video. Yeah, the first car, he bought it at the betting house. No, yeah, he wasn't betting. But one man finished betting all his money. He needed money, so he had money. His man sold his car, and he bought it. That, you see, what keeps people alive? Let's sit on it. Number one is love. Love. Why did God create love? I'm telling you. It's so that if one falls, another will take him up. That is the reason. That is the reason. I say it all the time. But the Bible says that the effectual fervent, King James says, heartfelt continued. That's what the Amplifier says. Heartfelt continued. Prayer of a righteous man avails much. You write a letter to one person you have never seen. Pray for me. It's your faith that is working. It's not his prayer. Sometimes people do this. They say they write to ministers. They will not keep the prayer point on the platform and not lie on it. Everybody pray. Are they doing it? Okay. The next thing is your prayer. It's your faith that's working. It's not that prayer. The little I understand is not that prayer that is working. See, unless it's a special anointing I don't know about. You can't just pray, Father God, there's the prayer point inside that paper. Answer it. God will just look at you. What did you just say? You don't know the person? Nobody's calling the person's name? Look, bro, you are at best a prayer leader. What I'm saying is that you are leading prayer and people are praying in their homes. It is their faith that is working. It's not you. The fact that you are leading prayer, just helping them, is boosting their faith. Like I said, it's their faith that is working. One man doesn't say, you lie down on the prayer request. I said, bro, get up on the prayer request. It makes no difference. It's when you, see, it's when you read. Do you get my point? There has to be a sort of connection. There has to be. Otherwise, it's the person's faith that is working. And really, it works. I'm not saying people's faith don't work. It works. But your presence is just activating their faith. It's not your prayer that is working. Leave that in. Instead of writing somebody you don't know, call somebody you know. Do you follow my point? That is why it's good to have. You cannot be a loner. You must belong to a circle of Christian brethren. People will check on you if you don't get up in the morning. This generation, they are, especially in Europe, I don't know about Nigeria. Nigeria has been learning some bad things. But in many of these countries, people will die 2 years later. They are still sleeping in bed. Yeah, 2 years. There's one lady, I think, her home was in London or so. I think it was 3 years. More than 2 years. She died. Nobody knew she was dead. The neighbors did not know she was dead. And she was inside that house, decaying away. It was over 2 years. You know when they finally found out? You know, this life is different. You know, many things you pay for these days, you pay with your card. Just log in your card, and they take the money at the right time that you're supposed to pay. So she had some money coming in. She had money in that account. So from there, her rent was being deducted. It was when the account became empty, and the landlord could not get his money again, that he finally came to throw her out to rent the house to somebody else. He found out she was dead. After more than 2 years. People say, didn't the neighbors smell anything? Number one, it's a cold country. So if the heater is not on, the room will be cold. So the body had time to do what we call mummification. It mummified. It smelled a bit, but there was a dumpster nearby. So they thought it was the dumpster that was smelling. And our television was on throughout. Constant power. Now. Thank you. Everything has its own drawbacks. The power was on. The television, the TV was on all the time. But nobody checked on her. 2 years. No, you can Google it a bit. On Wikipedia even has a story. Because it's a big thing. Many people like that. That's how they died. Nobody knew they died. Days later. Here we see, one of our brothers died the other day. But that one, they found in the office. Within 2 days, they found out. Before he had his body could spoil too much, they had found out. They come to the work one day. Second day, they said, no, this guy not the miss work. They don't go work. They called him, he didn't answer. Check somebody. This man has not come to work. Did he go to church? No. Who can reach him? They kept on calling. He wasn't picking the phone. Until maybe the phone died. They went to his house, knocked the door. The door was locked. They kept knocking. He didn't answer. They went and pulled the window. Peeped inside. Looked like there's somebody inside. They went and got police. Broke down the door. He was dead. But 2 days, they found him. All this, your space. This your space is an evil thing. Do you follow my point? You misuse your space. Let me. There are other stories that I will tell. What about the woman in China that was locked in the lift? Lift. Elevator. The maintenance people thought there was nobody there. They switched it off. She stayed there for weeks till she died. Died of cold, hunger, dehydration, everything. That dark, small compartment. Nobody was looking for her. This happened like 3 years ago. No, people like that, normally, there's nobody, they don't have anybody. They just go to work. Go to work. They can walk like a machine. Then go back home. And they are doing party. No, sorry, I don't eat cake. They don't eat cake. Eat cake. All this I don't eat. See, anything I don't eat is not sweet. Like I don't eat bitters. I don't eat things that don't have taste. If you're sweet, I eat. You say, what about your teeth? Go and brush after. What's your problem? You can't just wake up and decide that life must be bitter. I don't agree with that. It's not the will of God. One reason why I can't drink beer is not because of church. It's not because of church. Okay, one day allows us to drink once in a while if we want to, but it's the taste. It has a horrible taste. I'm a curious person. You know, all these expensive, very high-priced bottles of this and that. So one day, I sit down. Did they say, you go drink? And I don't drink, but I said, when they pour, when I put up for my, I almost fell down. That's such a foul taste. I said, I don't want to tell you which of the drinks. I said, so what's all the noise? If you give me that money, I use it to buy yogurt. Do you get my point? I will get one huge, GP tank. What are you using to buy expensive drink that has a foul taste? Nonsense. The Lord is good. The point I'm making is that, please, you must have a Christian social circle. You must have people that are concerned about your sicknesses. People will take turns if you are in hospital. They come and stay with you. They will come and tell your wife, madam, go home, go and sleep. We will stay here. I remember one woman, I went to my pastor's, in the church where I used to attend in Ekiti, that time, that is, where I was in my house job. I came there some years later. I saw one Muslim man, Alaji. I didn't even know that the wife, I knew the wife. She was one of our big nurses, a matron. She had retired by the time I came now. Saw him and this woman, the matron, in my pastor's sitting room. They came to visit him. The daughters were members of the church. So after they left, imagine they would give me the gist. After they left, and I heard the gist. That old man had a stroke. No, the girls used to come to church. And they used to fight. He was a Muslim, very common in Western Nigeria. The wife was a Christian. The girls decided not to go to their mother's church. They were now coming to our own church, which was a Pentecostal church. But this time I had left. I just came to visit after I had left there, a few years after. So the man used to fight them. They're young girls, maybe teenagers, at most 20. They quarreled in the house, fight, did that, and that. Anyway, one day the man had a stroke. The girls now came to church and reported. Her unit in church, they took turns. While the man was unconscious, after he woke up from his unconsciousness, until he fully 100% recovered, they took turns praying day and night. They would come to the foot of his bed and stay there and pray and pray and pray and pray until their shift is over. And that group will come. Then one day the man woke up. Arms were walking. Legs were walking. I saw him. He was walking perfectly normally. The man was totally, you know, healed. He recovered totally. After that, that was a joke in it. Then when they said they have all-night service, he's one monitoring the girls. If it's all-night, it's 8 o'clock. By 7, he has gone to knock on your door. Whether you have woken up, you haven't woken up. If you're running around and you hear that church has all-night service and you have not gone to sleep to go and take a nap, the man is fighting you. Why have you not gone to sleep? You know all-night service starting by 9. It was not... They come late to church, lie. The father is monitoring them. On Sunday morning, the man has gone to their door, 7 a.m., has banged the door. Are they awake? They have to be awake. Muslim, he didn't start coming to church. That was a joke on him. When he left, the pastor was telling him this, I had a good laugh. He was not the one monitoring the spiritual progress of his children. You don't read your Bible, you will fight him. Why? Because in the time of distress, he saw the power of God. Because he came from where those girls belonged to. The church people came and they prayed until he was totally healed. He recovered totally. I saw him. What am I trying to say? We need friends. See, this your straight face won't carry you anywhere. Do you get my point? You can't smile and you think you're a disciplined person. You have a devilish problem. Some of you are listening to me out there. Let me tell you. The month is about to enter, by next week, Christmas shopping. In fact, it has started. I'm commanding you in the name of the Lord. Take 3/4. I was going to say half, but my mind just said it won't be enough. Take 3/4 of your salary this time around. Write names of people. Shock them. Some of them don't sell their food because they're too afraid to eat it. Those who don't mind, send them cake. Order cake, send to them. 10 kg bag of rice, give them. Just spread the whole money around. Let the money finish. That's how you make friends. That's how you need... See, those people will beg God for you one day. One day you will sin. This kind of sin that should kill you. God said, I don't want you to die. You know Abimelech was going to die. God said, I stopped him from sinning against me. God would have to wake... See, God he knows all that. He has to wake somebody up. Hey, you wake up. Why are you still sleeping? Can't you see which is traveling? See, he didn't tell me he was traveling. Pray for him, Sha. Why? Because if you don't pray for him, he won't come back. You now start... I don't even know what to pray. Ah, Father. That's when you now start praying in tongues, praying with groanings. You don't even know, why am I praying for this guy? You pray and pray and pray. I told this story once. That once a friend of mine told me that... I just told him that some issues, we had trouble we had in the home. This was years ago, more than 20 years ago. I was just listening about it. He said, okay, He said, no wonder you have been on my mind. I had to be praying for you. Well, we need to see often. And you know what that told me? I said, it was supposed to be worse. Because let me mitigate it. Let me reduce it. See, if Paul could say, pray for us. If Paul could say, pray for us. In fact, I want to say it twice. Yeah, if Paul said it once, I will say it twice. Please, so pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for all those who labor with me in ministry. Pray for my wife. If you pray for me, don't pray for my wife. You're a wicked soul. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Pray for my wife. No, God shares the body. 90% of the body of making sure that I don't have problems at home, God gives to her. Because he knows me. I have some knots that are not well screwed together. I don't know whether it's on the right side or the left side, but sometimes I shake my head. I hear kruru. But God said, don't worry. I'll give you a wife that will balance the whole thing very well. So yeah, pray for my wife. Do you get my point?
Yes.
We need prayer. That's what love does. Now, please, let me focus on the main thing we're trying to do. Please, it's a responsibility. Last time we took time to pray for our children. This time around, I want us to pray for two groups of persons. One, our spouses, and two, our friends and siblings. Yes. Three groups. Family members, natural family now. First, your wife or your husband. Two, your brothers, your sisters, your parents. And then number three, your friends. It's your job. If you have not been doing it, many of us have not been doing it dutifully. We have been failing. The reason why God didn't just have us hanging from a tree, you know, your father will pollinate your mother. Then you develop from an ovary of a fruit. And then when you are mature, you fall down and start walking around. You think he couldn't do it? He knows how to do it. He could do that, but he refused to do it. The other things he could have done, they could have laid you like egg inside the sand. Is that not what lizards do? Then one day you hatch, you run, just disappear, start running up and down. And then one day you get called into ministry. But God didn't do it like that. He made sure that a human baby is said, all right, that a human baby is the weakest of all offsprings on this earth. Yeah. If you give birth to a goat, in a few minutes, standing up. Standing up is not even the issue. He knows where to find the milk. He knows where to find the milk. Once he just looks where the mother is, he just goes there. Yes, I saw one video. They said ducks? They have an instinct. A small tiger, maybe it's a zoo or something. Caught one, and the other one just lay dead. It's an instinct. After a while, the little tiger got confused. Because these animals don't eat dead meat. They are not scavengers. They have to kill living animals. So when he picked it, shook it in. It didn't move. Shook. Didn't move. So after a while, he will get frustrated and leave it and go away. That one, after it don't go, he will get up and run. Yeah. So the commentator said, he didn't learn this from the mother. It's inbuilt. Now where I'm going, human baby, if not a tiger, I go begin to shout, the tiger will kill him. Human baby, see, it's hungry. The milk is just 1 foot away. But it's not going there. He will be shouting until the mother will wake up, carry him and put him where the milk is. Now be eating as if he knows how to. Go check all mamas is meat. You know the mother dog, eh? When he bumps those children, if you lie down there, they will find themselves, oh, Junior, come on, move. He's done something up. That is, but not the human baby. He can't do anything. And it's deliberate. Why did God do it like that? God wants you surrounded with love. Love infusing you with spirit. Do you get my point? Yeah, there's a kind of spirit human beings carry. That God says, no, you will not survive on your own. I forbid it. You have to belong somewhere. I forbid it for you to survive on your own. If I discover that you are totally alone, that's it, you're gone. That's what he did. Look. Like I was saying, that is why we came out of families. I said the other time, you are the only one that saved in the family. There's a reason for it. Not because you have more sense than other people. Now, this will sound funny. You needed 10 levels of sense. Now, this is an illustration. Please try. Try and follow me. You needed 10 degrees of sense to know salvation, to know the Lord. So God entered the house. So how many sense they here? They said, the angel says, sense scarce in this family. Said, no, idol worshippers. That's how it is now. Iniquity of generations. It just keeps removing sense in subsequent generations. Wow. Oh, that's how it happens. Worship one funny god. It said he should do something. Isn't this man telling me in their village? There is a house there. There's a house. Everybody in the whole town, they know. At that house, that nobody there lives long. So it has not reached the point they have now all died. And they died for different reasons. And where it began from, they know. That they had a slave those days. And the slave served them for a long time. It was mature person. If I get the story wrong, correct me. And then one day their shrine decided that they should sacrifice somebody. And they took the slave and sacrificed him. And before he died, he said nobody in the family will live beyond him. And all the people have died like that, one by one, until the place is now desolate. Around the corner here, I'm not telling you something that happened in Timbuktu. Around the corner here. Oh, idol worship. No, no. It brings judgment from God. So God enters the house and says, look, this house, how many people have enough sense for salvation? Nobody. Say, you need 10 levels of sense. God looks, scans everybody. The person that has the highest level of sense is 3. But that will have 1, 2, 1, 2. So God collects all the 1, 2. Add it to the youth that had 10, that had 3. You suddenly rose up to 11. You went to church, gave your life to Christ. Suddenly you are feeling like you have more sense. God said, no, I used all their sense. The little left in that house, I collected from them and put in your spirit. That is why you are saved. Why? When you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Now I want you to take your brother, your elder brother, your elder sister, one by one. See, let me tell you something. Sometimes, there are things God, I don't know why, well, even though I think I have a bit of understanding, He can't do in one generation. So you see that your brother, he can't make it again. But he can be saved. On this earth, he will not be much better. But he can die and go to heaven. And then whatever is remaining will be left in his children. The next generation, because of the prayer you are praying today, everybody in that generation will be somebody. So that's why you don't give up. You just continue praying. You just continue praying. You say this generation, sometimes you are tempted to be disappointed. But God said, don't worry. Has he not married now? Yes. He has 3 children. 2 boys and 1 girl. They will be fine. Now, you won't hear those words. But you will keep on praying. I don't know. You know what I found out? You know what I found out recently? Even though you say, Pastor, you preached this 10 years ago. You're just finding out. I don't know. But sometimes it's like that. Human beings are controlled by spirit. If you see a man, that's behaving like he's not normal. He can't do anything responsible. It's not him. Sometimes they don't come out in brains. Satan don't rearrange his soul. I'm not kidding. So now, sometimes it's not too necessary to get angry with people too much. I know what I'm saying. Especially when they are your siblings. They are from your family. The tendency is to be angry. Especially when they now dump their problems on you. Let me just tell you something now so you know. Those problems are not going away. Better solve them. They are not going away. You are from one family. You now did well. You went to school. You look nice. You got a good job. I was talking to my sisters here. We're talking to your daddy. When he was telling me stories, that all her husband's children, brothers, her husband trained all their children. All. Some of them older than him. That is the brothers older than him. Some younger than him. Her husband trained all of them. When I say train, you want to go to school? Yes. Just read. He will pay. Read. He will pay. Get your admission. Get to university. He will pay. He will pay. He continue to pay. Some will now be looking and say, why you spend all this amount of money? Oh boy, spend it. Let me say it like this. I don't have time to console you. It's your lot in life. It's your lot in life. This life, the problems have been shared. That's your problem. They've given you your own. Carry it. And you can't carry it with grumbling. You must carry it with joy. And I'm giving you perspective today. What's the perspective I'm giving you? You said suppose they increase. That's what I want you to understand. You are not better than the person I'm telling you to help. God just said, Simon, Simon. Listen to this. Listen to this. Simon, Simon. Satan, get the English correctly, has desired to sift you all like wheat. Read the King James, gives you better perspective. But I prayed for you. Why didn't Jesus pray for all of them? The reason, because he understands order. The power was not enough for that at that moment. Many things were out of order. He had to focus the prayer on one person. So I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now give you a job. When you have been delivered, when you will have recovered, listen to this, when you will have prospered materially, when you will have graduated and had a good job and started a business and money is flowing, it's not because you are good, it's because I prayed for you. Now you have a job, strengthen your brothers. Say, this man paid for, you're just, that is, some people look at, what is wrong with you, sir? There's nothing wrong with him. I know that I found out, nobody should lie to you, that when you help other people, you become poor. It's not true. It's not true. It's a spiritual principle. There is that scattereth, yet increaseth. That's what the Bible says. You see, generosity does not lead to poverty. It's when you do stupid generosity. You know, like you go and donate to a politician that's running for office. You know you're a thief. You know what you are looking for. You are not being generous, you are investing. I said that you went and invested in PDP in the national election last time. So all Atiku is doing now is complaining every day. Oh, your money is gone. Some of you bankrolled Labour Party in Enugu. You lost the gubernatorial election. You are angry now. It's people like you that go poor. Should have had sense. When you are donating to politicians, shouldn't be more than 0.1% of your net worth. So that if you're good, you're good. If you're not good, you're not good. I mean, why are you giving to politicians if you are giving to God? Some people say, apostle, you know, they will give to what they have never given to Pastor Kemete. And you want God to bless you. But real generosity, you will never become poor. It's not possible. When I was just with her sister that day, when she finished, and I told her that my father-in-law is number one of 40 children. She almost fell down. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 40 children. 40. And this is number one. So if you start church, you don't even need members. So. Your family members. And not 40 children that you are waving bye-bye. As they are growing up, God come bless you small. They will come to the house. Wife fees, jam fees, tuition. Let me tell you, there are problems you will have. Even God will have mercy on you. Even God will look and say, I beg, call the angels of prosperity. Bring that guy money. See, I've heard people say that, you know, my father was helping people. That's why he didn't have anything. It's not true. Your father was not blessed. Leave that in. Don't use that as an excuse now to be the stingy man of the neighborhood. I've seen that nonsense before. My father was helping people. Who did your father help? Go and gather everything your father used to help people for a whole lifetime. So he put it together. Can't even finish a one-story building. Those who truly were helping people, God blesses them. God blessed them. Let me not say more than that. But I just want you to understand that. That's why God tied us. Are you getting my point? So that's why you must pray for your siblings. Pray for your family members. Mention their name. Because you have obtained mercy. Why God gave you mercy is so that you can be a voice of mercy, rising up to him for other people. One of the things we have to learn quickly is that we are not, you know, I've learned this thing about this faith matter. Eh? Generational faith matters. Oh, what I'm trying to say is that there are things that you have simply because somebody gave it to you. Somebody, let me explain what they say. Descendants of Shem, one of them was Abraham. All the other crazy people around, they generally were not descendants of Shem. They were descendants of, you know, Ham, you know, Japheth were even okay people. So you'll be thinking, so what did they do? I don't have time to argue. It's fact I have found out. I hope you're getting my point. I'm trying to get you to be humble. So if you have faith today and you believe and you are praying and you're not falling for all kinds of shrinic behaviors, don't just assume that it's because you are better. Maybe you're a descendant of, in quotes, spiritually speaking now, Shem. And the fellow you are angry with is a descendant of Ham. So show him small mercy. And you, be humble. That's what I'm saying. Take your faith as a gift that was donated to you because God needs you to deliver many other persons. Please, I feel like saying this again. Those people that carry family responsibilities, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Be grateful that you can carry it. Do you get my point? What if you couldn't carry it and it can't kill you? After all, right now, the only thing you can't do is, in quote, buy the kind of car you would have loved to buy. You know, I was talking about my father-in-law. The man likes book, eh? He likes book. When he met me, when I went to see him for the first time to introduce myself and my mission in his household. You know, only one thing impressed him. They told him I was a senior registrar. And he has a younger brother he trained, who's a pediatrician. So he understands medicine very well. So they said, you're a senior registrar. I said, yes, dad. He said, wow, how old are you? I told him. So in his mind, this boy no buko. Yeah. And he said it. He just made up his mind that I was smart. And that's all he needed. So not a problem. When you finish marrying my daughter, you can ask for the sister, join. It doesn't matter. Because it's not about money. It's sense. Now, why am I telling this story? So what he really wanted to do was book academics. But you know, he couldn't. They were going to retain him in UI, this is where he went to school, as a lecturer and all of that. He said no. He counted the number of people he had to take care of. So he went and get a job. Do you know he did his PhD as a grandfather? Oh, yes. Akindo had been born when his grandfather finally finished his PhD. He always wanted to do it. He started teaching in the university. Because that's all what he always wanted to do. But you see, because of the responsibilities he had, so let him settle those ones first. And God helped him. What I'm trying to say is that so when you want to carry your trouble, it hasn't killed you yet. He has just denied you of a new car. He told me the day my mother that told me the story of the day her husband gave one of the brothers money to go to school. I'm robber collector. The man just left like this. A few hours later, he was back. They had beaten him and collected the money. You know what he did? He gave him the other one, which was the balance of his salary. Oh, he took the first half. So you are carrying problems. God bless you. That's all I have to tell you. God bless you. Don't feel bad. It's your lot in life. Be happy. Do it with joy. The one I don't want for you to God say it now. To you to not be doing with grumbling. Do it with joy. Do it and God has not allowed you to die under the weight. And you will not. Let me give you a prophetic word. You will not die under the weight.
Amen.
Know what happened? A time will come. Fact. You will have built so much muscle of solving problems that one day there will be no problems to solve. You'll just be accumulating wealth. Amen. You now have to start looking. You now start doing charity. You now be going to school and donating to faculty building. It's not your fault. Do you get my point? Yes, it's not your fault. You just start donating. They don't say, you go on campus fellowship. They don't have bus, just buy bus. Why? There's nothing to do again. Because God will have settled you on every side. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
That's the message I'm preaching today. You are going to pray. First, your spouse. Last time we pray for children, right? Number two, pray for siblings. And number three, pray for that. Okay, family, natural family. And last of all, pray for who? Your friends. We don't have all the time, you understand. Of course, I've spoken at length again today. But like I said last time, we have work to do. Now, this time around, I won't force you to kneel down. But choose your position. Time to pray. I'm just watching my time. I want us to have enough time because we have so much. You can stand. You can kneel. But you can't just sit down there. Sir, you can just sit down there and do your hand like this. I don't agree. Uh-huh. But if you are kneeling, take your chair and make sure you face the front. Turn it around. Uh-huh. But you can stand. Anyone you wish. I want us to start praying. Now, for those who don't have a husband or a wife yet, you can pray for them now. I hope you're getting my point. You say, can see my children and say, but daddy, don't you think? Okay. Join me to pray for my wife. All right. All right. Let's begin to pray. It's very important. First, start with thanksgiving. I want us to give thanks for everything. There are so many things to give the Lord thanks for. Give thanks for your wife. Give thanks for your husband. I want you to literally give. Say, Father, I thank you for the woman you gave to me. Thank God for the family you came out of. Thank you for my brother. Mention them by name one by one. Mention your brother, your sister, your brothers, your sisters, your parents. Mention them. Say, Lord, I want to say thank you. Just start with thanksgiving. Thank God for your friends. I've had some wonderful friends all these years in my life. When I tell people sometimes, say, that Pastor Courage and I were roommates in university. I was in fellowship the day Mommy and came to fellowship for the first time. I still remember that very day. I remember. We're in university, all of us, about the same time. I've known these people for 30-something years, and they remain my friends till today. My friend Chuksu, I mentioned, I met him for the first time in 1986, and we are friends till today. 86, in case you do not know, is 38 years now. I've had friends, there are many people I could mention, just mention many that you know here. Just thank the Lord for the friends He has brought into your life. People that, if you're wounded, they will be there in hospital. They will bring their money. They will pray for you with sincerity. That they can't feast when you are crying. Thank God for them. I wanted to give, just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that He brought you out of a family. I know, you know, you've not been very happy with your father. Like one boy said, my father is not your father at all. But it's your father. So let's leave it like that. Just thank the Lord for his life. Thank the Lord for your mother. One day one of our sisters sat me here and gave me the testimony of her life with tears in her eyes. Her father used to embarrass them with his drunken attitude. And she was angry with him all her life. Until one day we prayed and I said, give the Lord thanks for him and pray for him. She said, how can? Then one night she got and said, God, I can't do it. You need to help me. And then she began to pray. And that was the week her father drank last. By this time she was a university graduate. That was the week the man's life changed. She said at the back, I was giving a testimony. So give the Lord thanks. So please, give the Lord thanks. We are doing our duty of intercession. We have been called to pray. It puts people in families for this purpose, so that somebody will remember them in prayer. Your name is Joseph. Your brothers have done bad. Just forgive them. Eh? That's part of the assignment. That's part of the activity. That's part of the training in righteousness. Say, Lord, I forgive my father. I forgive anybody I'm angry with. Some people that you're angry with don't deserve it, but you don't know. But just forgive them. Your name is Joseph. All your 11 brothers, they conspired Haba. Just forgive them. Forgive them. I don't have time now to teach on the principle behind that, but it is important. But now give the Lord thanks for everybody. Give the Lord thanks for everybody. Give the Lord thanks for everybody. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for these connections. Notice what you have done. These are all connections. Your spouse, connection. Your family, natural family now, connection. Then, of course, your friends, connection. Some friends, the Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Because of time, we're going to try and we may mix them up a bit. What are the things? Now, I want to say something to you. I said before, and it's a fact. If you are married to somebody, you have more right in the person's life than anybody else. That fellow is the only one that has more right than you in his or her life. I hope you're getting my point. It's almost like you are praying for yourself. The Bible says, the man that loves his wife, what does he say? He loves himself. He's himself is loving. So why can't I pray for myself? Do you get my point? If you go and check it, the Bible says, love your wife as who? Christ loved the church. When Christ was leaving, what was the last thing he did for the church? He prayed. What did he pray for? And that's one thing about the family. He prayed that they will be one. He prayed. He said, God, keep them from the evil one. So there are two prayers you are going to pray. Now, I just mentioned one, just like Jesus taught us to pray. You are going to pray for your spouse that, Lord, keep him, keep her from the evil one. Now, when he was talking about that, he was not talking about let them not bite them, let them not have accident, let them not eat poison. No. So that they will not do evil. That's the emphasis of Jesus Christ. When he was teaching us to pray, deliver, lead us not into temptation, but what? Deliver us from evil. That is, we don't want to do evil. Now, begin to pray that, Father, in the name of Jesus, this wife you have given me, this is my husband, Lord, he will be kept from the evil one. As you have promised, no temptation will come to him or to her, my wife, than he is able to endure, my husband. Just anyone, just you, you get what I'm trying to say. But that with everyone, Lord, let him see the way of escape. Lord, the boldness you gave to Daniel to stand for you, let her have it. Let him have it. Now, those days we learned the prayer of faith from Ephesians chapter 1. Ask that God will give into him, give to her the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of her understanding will be enlightened. You need to pray that prayer. You have to pray that your wife will know the Lord, will know the scriptures. We have understanding. That your husband will know the scriptures. We have understanding. If you're a woman and you're praying for your husband, pray that he will have the wisdom of God to give direction to the household. Now, even if you are not married yet, pray this prayer as well. Because it will not be wasted. I tell you, it will not be wasted. I tell you, it will not be wasted. I tell you, it will not be wasted. Pray, say, Lord, my husband will know the Lord. I'm asking of you. The way you met Saul on the road, Abba. The Bible says that they can observe your life, your faith, your character, and then become persuaded. Say, Lord, fill me with the spirit that convinces a spouse to be persuaded. The spirit that makes my life to be such that persuades, not just with words, but a life that persuades. Lord, soften her heart, soften his heart. Keep him from the evil one. Keep her from the evil. Let no temptation come upon her or come upon him than he or she is able. Not, that is, let no temptation come that he cannot handle, that she cannot handle. But with every temptation, Lord, bring a way of escape. Lord, when my wife travels, let her be safe. When my husband travels, let no evil come upon him. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Pray that prayer. It's important. Today, I want you to pray for your loved one. And not only today, please make it a habit. Rise up at night. The Bible says that Isaac entreated his wife, the Lord, for his wife Rebekah's sake, and she conceived. She received the power to conceive. She received the ability to conceive. There are two things inside there. One, the Lord was answering Isaac. Number two, she was receiving the ability, the faith to conceive. I read that. That was after she had been married to her for 20 years. I said, Brother Isaac, what took you so long? So as soon as I married, I began to pray. And I entreated the Lord for my wife's sake. I said, Lord, cause her to conceive. Pray for your wife that she will conceive in the natural, that is natural children. And spiritually also, the visions of God. See, that's why God joined us for. It's so that one will pray for another with authority. Satan tries to, hinder all of these things by turning us to accusers. Say, today, Lord, I will not be an accuser. I forgive my wife. I forgive my husband of whatever hurts they may have caused. And I'm asking, Lord, have mercy. Mention your spouse's name and say, Lord, don't deal with him or with her according to the multitude of the iniquity. Lord, whatever voice of accusation I've spoken before your throne, Lord, I'm asking you to have mercy on me that those words may be canceled. Oh, you need to pray like that. That those words may be canceled. That those words may be canceled. I want husbands to pray and declare, say, Lord, I love my wife as Christ loved the church. Lord, give me the ability. You know, there are things that the Bible says, they are not just commandments. They are prayer points and words of power. He said, be exhilarated with her love at all times. I think spouses, please, I want you to specifically pray that prayer. Say, Lord, fill me with the spirit of love, you know, and exhilaration for my wife, for my husband. It's very important. I know what I'm saying. See, there's an angry spirit. There's a bitter spirit. There's a spirit of disaffection that enters into homes. Look, that spirit exists. You have to reject it now. You just look at your wife. You don't even care whether she's there, whether now a human being is there or being a statue or a carving. You don't know. It's not normal. It may appear natural, but it's not. But whether it's natural or not, remember, God has an antidote. And he spoke a word. He was talking to husbands concerning their wives. And he told them, he said, I need to read that scripture. It's from Proverbs chapter 5. Now, I want you to hear this. Please, listen to it carefully. I want everybody to listen to it. If you're a married person, even if you are not married yet, you will soon marry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
From verse 15, it says, Proverbs chapter 5, please listen to this. Drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets. So let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Now listen to this. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now this is a word of God, though. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. He said, be exhilarated always with her love. That's verse 19. This is the will of God.
Hallelujah.
This is the will of God.
Hallelujah.
I said, this is the will of God.
Amen.
This is the will of God.
Amen.
Now listen, even though it seemed to have been speaking to a man, but you want to know the truth? The same instruction goes to the wives also. By the Spirit of God, I tell you that. You know what I found out? This is not done by human energy. It's not. You know what that place is called? Naira Triangle. NNPC. I was coming from Kia that time. I think I just went to service my car. I was about to take that turn. And that time, I just realized something. I told the Lord, my wife doesn't excite me as before. So I brought out this scripture. I said, Lord, confirm this word in my life. You want to hear the testimony? He did. It's just I don't believe in methods. You can use method for good thing, it turns to bad thing. Some people want to they want to go and give their wife breakfast in bed. He pours on her body. She now lands in orthopedic hospital. Plastic unit. Do you get my point? Bones and plastics. Your good has now turned to bad thing. People of God, pray this prayer. I'm giving you a few minutes. Just take that scripture and say, Lord, it is written. I told you, when we pray in accordance with his will, that's what it means. That we say, Lord, let me be excited by the love for my wife. Let me be excited by the love for my husband at all times. Let me find him attractive. Let him look handsome in my face. Let me dream of him at night. Let her look beautiful in my eyes. Remember, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yes, Lord, I'm asking of you. Let me be excited. It's not human. It's not natural. It's in feeding of the Spirit. So what are we doing? We are being filled with the Spirit. And let's add one to it. Pray for your spouse. Say, Lord, let this woman love me so much that she will dream of me day and night. Yes. The way she's praying for herself and you pray for yourself, turn it all around also. Make intercessory prayer. All of you are now whispering because I said she has to love her. Okay, it doesn't matter. You will still pray it. Whether you whisper or you shout, God will still hear it in Jesus' name. Yes, ask the Lord. See, I have a testimony in that regard. I do. One day, one of my students saw me on the road. Good afternoon, sir. Long time. She was not a graduate. He says, I have a question. Do you still love your wife like that? Yeah. He asked me on the road. He said, do you still love your wife like that? Because I used to talk about my wife. I said, yes, I still do. One woman heard me talk one day. She said, I had never heard that before. I'd been married for like 10 years. He said, You say you love your wife now more than you did when you first married her. I said yes. He said, I've never heard it in my life. And I was preaching just normally. I was just preaching. I wasn't trying to brag. She heard me preaching. She heard it. She saw it on television. It's by the Spirit. Somebody say it's by the Spirit. Say, Lord, give me that Spirit. I want to drink of it now. I want to drink of it now. I want to drink of it now. Let me be satisfied. Let me be satisfied with the spouse that you have given me. Let me be satisfied. That is what prayer is about. Let me be satisfied. Lord, let me be satisfied. Say, Lord, let me be satisfied. Lord, let me be satisfied. Lord, that spirit of satisfaction is what I'm asking you for. That spirit of satisfaction is what I'm asking for. Say, Lord, that spirit of satisfaction, that is what I'm asking for. Let me be satisfied in my spouse in the name of Jesus. Let me be satisfied in my spouse. Like I said, pray for your spouse. Say, Lord, let him be satisfied in me. Say, Lord, satisfy her desires. There's something you know your wife wants. You personally can't do it. You personally can't afford it. Rachel went to her husband one day in anger. Give me children. The man looked like, what? What did you say? Do I look like God to you? There are times, there are things your spouse will want. You can't provide your husband. There are things even the man himself wants. For himself, he can't provide. But you know what? Our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Like Isaac said, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife's sake. Now, entreat the Lord for your spouse's sake. Sometimes you know, every time he starts his car, he will crank it, and then you feel bad. And they say, this Tinubu economy. God says, shut your mouth there. Make sure no there. What is Tinubu economy? Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, my husband wants a new car. He wants a new car. Lord, you can provide. You can provide. You can provide. You can provide. That is love. That's what we are supposed to be doing on a daily basis. Now, please, give the Lord thanks for that. He has heard you. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. I want you to just give it. Take a moment and say, Father, I thank you. Because I know you have heard me. Thank you for this instruction today. That's waking me up to my responsibility. To my priestly function. Something I have not been doing. Lord, thank you. Thank you for correction. Thank you for mercy. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Now, let's just take the other one, you know, quickly. Like I said, pray for you. This time I want us to be intense about it. I want to pray for those your family members, your cousins that you love so much, people that you want to march into heaven with, people who you want to speak the word of faith together and have joy in doing it. Now, at least we have spoken enough today for you to understand that no need to be angry. What you need to do is ask for what? Mercy. Ask the Lord to show them mercy. Now, please take a moment and begin to pray. First of all, if you have brothers, sisters, you know, siblings, cousins, close ones to you, I want those to close people that people you know, people you call, people who stay, you know, in your home. You've eaten from the same plate. You know each other very well. They're like brothers and sisters to you. Say, Lord, they too must know the Lord. If they don't know the Lord, say, Father God, I ask of you that their eyes will be opened, that their eyes will be opened, that the knowledge of Jesus Christ will come to them. That's why you raised me up, so I can make petitions on their behalf. Lord, I ask that their eyes will be opened. I ask that their eyes will be opened. That's what God is saying. Just ask. Just ask. Say, Lord, have mercy upon them. Do not bring upon him, upon her, the sins of generations before. Because God says normally, what I do is what? I bring forth the sins of idolatry upon subsequent generations. But he's a merciful God. Say, Lord, let that judgment stay in his case. Let that judgment be stayed in her case. Lord, you are going to have testimonies. You are going to see your cousins, your brothers, your sisters giving their lives to Christ. Becoming active church, you know, goers, learning the word of truth. Say, Lord, I ask of you, have mercy. You have a cousin, he's doing drugs. Say, Lord, arrest him. Say, Lord, I'm asking. Some of these people, nobody has ever begged the Lord for them. You are going to do it today. You have a cousin, he's doing drugs. Take that one and say, Lord, these drugs won't get him. You are his God. You made him for a purpose. I am your child. I have risen up, Lord, in the righteousness that I have in Christ Jesus to ask you for mercy. That's what we do. We spread mercy. That's what we do. We spread mercy. Jesus has a lot of it. He just wants us to spread it. Say, Lord, my cousin, why should he be smoking in hemp? Why should he start using, you know, these drugs? We know it's a spirit of the age. Ask, say, Lord, deliver him from that spirit of that age. From that spirit of this age. Now speak to that spirit. Because God has given authority into your mouth now. Say, you evil spirit, disturbing so and so. I command you in the name of Jesus. Stop! I command you, let him go. I command you, let him go. In the name of Jesus. You have to deliver that fellow from those drugs. You have to. Nobody has been praying for him. That's why Satan took a hold of his brain and put a spirit of addiction into it. Now, you have. Now I'm saying to you, the Lord has granted that power into your tongue right now. Just say it in the name of Jesus. You know what Peter prayed? He said, do signs and wonders at the mention of that name. Now you mention the name. In direction of your cousin or your brother. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of Satan over his life. In the name of Jesus, I break this power of addiction over his life. I break this power now because I have received authority from you. Because I know you have answered. Lord, I ask for mercy. We spread mercy to him. And in this moment, faith is stirred up in my heart. I know you have released him. Therefore, I speak to him. Mention his name. Say, be released in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Say, now go hear the gospel. Believe. Say, Father, send laborers into his harvest. Send laborers into his harvest. Father, send laborers into his harvest. Send laborers into her harvest. In the name of Jesus, believe the gospel. In the name of Jesus, be kept of the Lord. I pray for you now that your faith will not fail. I pray for you now that your faith will not fail. I pray for you now. I pray for you now. I pray for you now that your faith will not fail. Father God, I pray that you will stand, that she will stand in the face of trials. Lord, I ask you, drive away false influences. Friends that lead astray. Lord, cause them to quarrel. Cause them to disagree. Let them not speak to each other again. Until she's standing strong. Until they're standing strong. Then you can now send her back later as an instrument of evangelism into their lives. But for now, be gone out of his life in the name of Jesus. You that bring evil spirit into this home. No. We route you now. We route you now. We route you now. We route you now. You are praying for your brother. You are praying for your cousin. I want you to pray. Pray for your friend. Those believer friends of yours. Believers. Believers now. Pray that God, you know, many times, listen to this. Sometimes a lot of Christians, you wonder, say, are we in the same Christianity? Which life are you people living? Which kind of prayer? Now, listen, no need to get angry. Those is Canadian taught us to pray what they call the efficient prayer. That God will give unto them. Christians, now we're praying for Christians alone. Who are your friends? Before, when your cousins, your brothers, it was everybody. But now, friends, only Christians. The reason because I believe that they should be your close friends. Unless you're dealing with people who are childhood friends. Is that okay? Now, so take them and say, Lord, Father God, the things you've taught me, they need to know it also. So I'm asking that you give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That's from Ephesians chapter 1. You can open to it from around verse 17 and use it to pray for them. That the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. The way you have opened my eyes and you are opening my eyes. And even more than that, I pray that, Lord, the eyes of my friends, my brothers, as Christian brother now, understanding will be enlightened. You know, Paul said, John said, if you see a brother committing a sin that's not unto death, you will pray. So pray for them. Now, there are areas where you know they don't. Maybe they speak so negatively about the nation, about their family, about their children. Say, Lord, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. Have mercy. It's ignorance. Have mercy. It's ignorance. Lord, have mercy. It's ignorance. Sometimes they are walking on forgiveness. Lord, say, Lord, it's ignorance. Have mercy. So I'm asking you, Lord, teach them the truth. I ask. God just wants us to ask. Just make petition for somebody. Samuel said that God forbid I should sin against him by sinning to pray for you. What does that tell you? Prayer for people is important. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother, that's my Christian brother, my friend, that they walk in the truth, that they walk in the light of the truth, that you will shine this light, give them understanding. Give unto him or her the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of you, that the eyes of the understanding will be enlightened, that they will know the hope of the calling that they have in Christ Jesus. You need to pray that prayer. And that they will know the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, that Christ's inheritance in the saints, that they will know the exceeding greatness, that exceeding greatness of his power that works towards us who believe, that they will know why Christ Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Say, Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, in your mercy, you will enlighten his darkness. Lord, that in your mercy, you will enlighten his darkness. Take a moment, pray for a friend that's going through any challenge of any sort. It could be financial challenge, troubles, any side. Say, Lord, I ask for my friend. Have mercy. That's all prayer. You say, Lord, have mercy. Do not deal with him. Do not deal with her according to the multitude of iniquity. Lord, send help. If there's any way I can be of help to my friend, help me to help. Put your word in my mouth. Give me resources. Give me faith to take from what I have. That's it. Faith will help you see. Faith will show you how to share. Say, Lord, but I ask of you that my friend, my brother will walk in your blessing. He will know that the Lord is good. I ask that your goodness will be manifested in his life, in her life, in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I ask that you will have joy. Some of you, maybe your friends are having difficult homes, marriage. Now, I want you to rebuke that spirit. It's a spirit that scatters home. Now, because faith is stirred up and the anointing of God is present on your lips right now, say in the name of Jesus, you spirit of discord in homes, I rebuke you concerning, mention the person's name, the family's name. I rebuke you, I command you to get out. I command you to get out. Listen, and then you know why that spirit is out. Begin to pray, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill that home. Fill that home with joy. Fill that home with unity. Fill that home with light. Fill that home with light. Father God, fill that home with light. Let the joy that a man has in his wife fill this man's life. Let the joy that a woman has in her husband fill this one's life. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that such Satan will not be able to come back because the Holy Spirit will fill there. The Holy Spirit will fill there. Lord, I'm asking you to send your word to them. To send your word because you see, that place cannot be left vacant. It can't be left vacant. Oh, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. That's what we are doing. Some people, listen, they are so blinded. There's no talk you want to talk. It's only prayer like this that will help. Begin to give a little thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Oh, Father, just say, Father, I thank you. For giving me faith today to pray. For giving me faith to exercise this priesthood. This is what they call priesthood. That's what God made us, priests. And kings unto him. Give the Lord thanks. If you have a minute, just say, Father, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I give you praise. Take a moment and give the Lord thanks because he's good. Hey, you are going to say a testimony, it will fill your ear. Oh, no, testimonies will fill your ears. Testimonies will fill your ears. Yes, and listen to me. What we have prayed for others, God will do more for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. And that's it. You will see it work in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. As for those of you that pray that God will make you love your wife more, ha ha ha, you have entered though. So when people start laughing at you, don't when they say woman rapper, say I go rap and well, leave her like that. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
It will happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Once again, give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
And be gracious unto you.
Amen.
And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And give you peace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. It's well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Remember, the habit we have formed in these last 2 meetings, let's not lose it. Do you get my point? that the spirit of intercession, the spirit of supplication will rest upon you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Lord will bless you.
Amen.
The greatest, you see, there are all kinds of prayers, but the only one that really is a seed that God multiplies back and harvests is that spirit, is that prayer of intercession, when you go into supplication on behalf of somebody else. The Lord will bless you abundantly.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Quickly bless the people beside you. Say, this is your season. Say with confidence, oh. Bless somebody else. The last one for yourself. This is my season.
In the
name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, shout out, brethren. God bless you.